I want to remind you, those of who are watching and participating through our live streaming, that after the sermon, you should have something to eat and drink to participate in the Lord's Supper that we'll have here today. And those who are here in person will come forward at the invitation and form two lines. There'll be two teams of servers. They'll offer you bread and then something to drink, and then you return to your seat using the side aisle. And we'll do that after the message this morning. There are several readings I want to share this morning. I'm going to read them as part of the sermon. They're embedded in the sermon, and they will be a quiz, so you'll have to listen closely. And the sermon this morning is a one-word title, koinonia, koinonia. And I'll describe that word today for us and what it means to us and how important it is for the life of the church. But let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord and our God, each one of us comes to you today out of a different place, out of different circumstances and different needs. Each of us is on an individual journey in life, although we willingly come together as the people of God today and journey together. But speak to each one of us this morning in our unique circumstances and at our point of need. And we know that you will do this today. And so we pray in anticipation of your speaking to each one of us in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Somewhere along the way of life, a child learns that a noun is a person, a place, or a thing. Person, places, and things can be easy to describe. Ideas, however, are often not easy to describe. We can show places to kids. For example, if they come by the church or drive by with their parents in the car, they might say, "What is that building?" And of course, you'll begin to try to describe to them what a church is. We can show the children the church. We can say, "That's a church. It has a cross on top of it." And you can try to describe what takes place in that church. But an idea can be hard to describe. You can say, "Well, if we went inside, we would find the Bible." And that's what people in churches do. They read from the Bible. They study the Bible in groups. And they read the Bible when they come together to worship God. You can bring children inside the church and show them the baptismal font and explain what happens at the font with the water and the words that are said. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we baptize individuals. You can show them the Lord's table and tell them the stories that we remember at the Lord's table and the promise of life that is given to us in that table. We seek through our King's Kids program, for example, and our preschool, and our Sunday school, it is our vision and our hope to teach children the truths of the Bible and the stories of the Bible so that they can have those truths and stories throughout their life as a great source of strength and help. We teach our children to memorize the Lord's Prayer and passages of Scripture so they can have these tools at ready when they need them. To describe church to children, we can introduce them to the pastors and teachers and other people in the church. But none of this really fully describes what the word church means. But church is both a place and church is an idea. Think about how you would describe what a church is to someone, especially a child. It's a place, but it's an idea as well. Church is both concrete and it's an abstract idea. Church, perhaps at its very basic, and this is really hard to describe to people, it's an experience. Church cannot, you see, be handed to someone like you hand them a baseball or a baseball in a glove. It doesn't happen that way. Church cannot be taught to another person like you teach mathematics or like you teach Spanish. Which brings me to the main point of the message early on this morning. The earliest Christians used a very special word to describe the idea and the experience of church. And I find in my studies, I don't think we use this word enough. The word the early Christians used is a Greek word to describe church. They use the word koinonia. And koinonia is not translated in the Bible as the word church. Rather, koinonia, it describes an idea, it describes an experience, which is the church. Now, the readings this morning that I'm going to show you now on the screen, they all contain the Greek word koinonia. And so listen to the Word of God as I read each in turn and see if you can figure out which English words are derived from that Greek word koinonia. First, I'm going to read from the book of Acts in chapter 2. I'm reading verses 41 and 42 only, just two verses, and I'll give you a hint. The word koinonia is in the second verse in verse 42. And so listen as I read from Acts 2, beginning at verse 41. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now the next use of koinonia is in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. And the word for koinonia in some translations, you'll find it as partnership or sharing. Now I'm reading from the King James Version because it gives us the same rendering as the other two passages. The Apostle Paul writes this in Philippians 1 verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And finally, I'm going to read from the 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. And the word koinonia in this particular reading, it occurs four times in these verses. And so you'll hear the word again and again. 1 John 1, beginning at verse 3. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so the question, how do you describe the experience of the church? Not a place, but an idea. Well, you can see the New Testament uses that word koinonia, which can be translated into fellowship, which we heard a number of times in these readings. It can also be translated as it is in the New RSV and the Revised Standard Version as partnership or sharing. Belonging to Christ in partnership, in fellowship. I want to share a book with you now. Some years ago, I was introduced to a book by Robert Coles. Now, Robert Coles wrote this book entitled The Spiritual Life of Children. Coles is a Harvard child psychiatrist who has deep faith commitments. He works with children to learn how they form spiritual values, and he does this working with them many times individually. He asked them to share stories and to draw pictures of themselves and pictures of God. And then he asked the children to describe these images to him. He tells the story in his book of him walking with a young girl from Mississippi and talking to her, and she was showing him the picture she had drawn of herself. That's me, she said about the picture she had sketched, that's me. And then she said, God made me. When I grow up, Mama says I may not look like I do now. And Mama says I also may not like how God made me at some points in life. But I must always remember, says Mama, that God did it and it's God's idea. And so when I draw a picture, she says, a picture of the Lord, He'll be real big in the picture. He has to be real big to explain the way things are. And Coles writes in his book that what she's talking about is koinonia, fellowship, a partnership forming between the little girl and God that she will maintain throughout her life at certain levels, hopefully in time at a deeper level. She's explaining a fellowship not only between herself and God, but between herself and what her mama says about God. It's a partnership of the Spirit of Christ among them. And Cole says this about the spiritual life of children. As we listen to children tell their stories and tell about the pictures they have drawn, so it is we connect to one another. So it is we begin to teach one another and heal one another and affirm one another across many years. You see, when we connect with one another in groups or in meetings or whatever ministry we're involved in, when we connect with one another and we connect with God, koinonia occurs. Fellowship occurs. Just last week, for example, our Wednesday's King's Kids program, it ended for the year. The King's Kids program is offered as part of our before and after program, our Northwood Child Care program. And on Wednesdays, the children come together and they learn about God through arts and crafts and singing and Bible stories and recreation. Well, you should know that a year ago during COVID, that entire program, the Northwood Child Care program, it ended. That Northwood Child Care program, it closed after 30 years of ministry. At one point in the summer, we had only two children coming and they were brothers. And we had to call the dad and say, we just aren't getting any children coming during COVID, just like the elementary schools, and we're going to close. And we were closed for a year in that program. Finally, just this past fall, we started again. And it was amazing to see. I am so grateful for all those who have given leadership to it. I'm grateful to Roxanne Finio in our church, our director of preschool. Although it wasn't her job, she took upon herself to give tours and interview those parents of the 50 children that were in the before and after program all this year. It's been an amazing recovery. Literally every other day, she and I would talk about how we could offer things, how we could price things, how we could do things for families to make it convenient for them and to get them back. And it's working. I'm also grateful to Carly Wright, our children's director. She and some other adult volunteers, they work specifically on Wednesdays during that Northwood Child Care program to offer King's Kids. And the King's Kids program, you see, is only one way we seek to teach children the meaning of the church. And koinonia is how both children and adults discover deeper meaning about what a connection with God and others can be like. Koinonia is not just about teaching children through music. It's not just about teaching children through recreation or teaching children through Bible stories. All those things are part of the King's Kids program. But koinonia takes place when we discover what it means to be in fellowship with one another. Koinonia takes place when we experience a loving God as Father, when we discover God we learn about in Jesus Christ, and when we discover God we learn about in the Holy Spirit, God's comforter, God's very presence with us throughout life. And here's another point then. The tasks which are done on Wednesday afternoon in the King's Kids program are not nearly as important as the relationships that are built, the fellowship that occurs. That's what's important. Because in that fellowship together, values are transmitted to children. And they learn what's important to us, and they take that and make it important to them. King's Kids provides koinonia. It's not just a program for children. Koinonia describes people who are in fellowship with each other, who need each other, who depend upon each other, with the Spirit of Christ in partnership with one another. And I want to say to you this morning, I am grateful for those experiences I have had in my life of koinonia. And there have been many of them. Many times I felt in partnership and in fellowship with others and with God. These are the things the Apostle Paul describes in our readings today. And I invite you to think about the times in your life this week that you have experienced koinonia, both in the church and even in the community with others in Bible study and talking about your faith. Think about the ways in which you experienced koinonia over the years. I was thinking this morning about the times I have traveled to camps like Montreat and Cedar Kirk, and those times I have been in meetings with others and experienced koinonia in ways that are really hard to describe, because describing that idea, describing that experience, it can be difficult. But many of you know what I mean who have experienced koinonia with others. There are some occasions I have gone to events in which I did not know anyone and still experienced koinonia. I remember it was way back, and I'm stretching way back now, 40 years ago this summer. 40 years ago this summer, in June of 1983, I attended the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. I share that with you because it was a historic meeting. The Northern and the Southern churches were coming together to vote on reuniting after 122 years of division. They had separated in the time of the Civil War, like all denominations did, North and South, and now they were coming back together. And I drove from my home in Tennessee that summer down to Atlanta. In just a few weeks, I would be beginning seminary in Decatur, Georgia, just to the side of Atlanta. And so I was becoming familiar with that area. And when I arrived at the General Assembly meeting in Atlanta, I did not know a soul. I had gone there by myself. I had been raised in the South, in Tennessee, and I had learned through elders in our home church, I had learned through them to distrust the leadership of the National Presbyterian Church, and I had learned to distrust and be wary of this reunion. I had learned some of that because people in my church were reading a magazine at that time that's now out of print. It doesn't exist anymore. But they were reading and sharing articles from a magazine called The Presbyterian Layman. And it was a magazine that was always suspicious about the leadership of the National Church, especially the reunion. Well, I wondered what the experience would be like with that background in my mind. There were large crowds everywhere. The day before the assembly began, there was a large march down Peachtree Street. They were coming together to celebrate that historic assembly. And there were also protesters saying, "Don't do this." But I watched one evening as the assembly began in worship. I remember it like it was yesterday. The opening of worship lasted half an hour because representatives from every presbytery in the nation came forward with their banner and with a communion chalice and communion bread that they would share together in a communion service with 14,000 people present in worship. It was an amazing moment. I later learned there were over 14,000 Presbyterians gathered in the World Congress Center to hear the Declaration of Reunion after 122 years of separation. And here I was, and here was a cross-section of the whole church, a very diverse group of people, I can tell you. And there were representatives that were present from around the world that had come for this historic reunion. There were moments of humor, there were moments of seriousness. But I remember in worship, the man next to me, I didn't have a program. They had run out, and he put his program next to me, and I was able to sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." We also sang the hymn, I remember, "Fairest Lord Jesus." Randolph Taylor, he was the moderator of that assembly, and he led us in a reflection on the state of the church at that day and time. But here's my point. There in that large World Congress Center that looked nothing like a church, among people who were strangers to me and I to them, koinonia was experienced. And where koinonia is experienced, the church always exists. Where koinonia is absent, the church seems to be missing. So here's my prayer for all of us this summer, that we will seek out opportunities of koinonia no matter where we travel, no matter where we go. And on this Sunday in which we celebrate our God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may we and our children and our youth always know the experience of koinonia and thereby discover what God is and what the church means. Let us pray as we come to communion. O Lord our God, we give you thanks for these moments together. We are so grateful for the ways that you work in our lives and that you share partnership with us, that we call koinonia, that special sharing in the Spirit of Christ with one another. And we recognize that we share in that partnership in a very special way as we gather around this table in which you offer us your body and your blood for our salvation and the salvation of the world. And as we come to you, we continue our prayers for the world, not just for us, but for people everywhere. We pray for people that are hurting and who are in distress. We pray for people in India who have experienced a terrible train accident. We pray with their families and how they deal with this in the days to come. We pray that you will draw them together in fellowship, in ways in which they partner with you, O God, even in the faith that they know that it will give them comfort, that they will see light, and they will know that others care and pray for them wherever they are. And so be with us now and bless us as we come to this table and hear your words that remind us of the importance of this meal. In Christ's name we come. Amen. Friends, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." And hear now the words of institution of this holy meal of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, our Lord took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, shared in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Drink, all of you, of it, for as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come.